Let's see the word of God. So, as you know, we are continuing on the series of the Holy Spirit. And last time, we saw that the Holy Spirit, the introduction of the personality of the Holy Spirit was given by Jesus in John chapter number 14. Before that, he did not introduce the Holy Spirit. He spoke about the Holy Spirit indirectly, but he started to introduce the Holy Spirit right before right before his death on the cross. When he was going to go on the cross, he started to introduce, because he said to the disciples, "I am going to go away in some time, but I want to introduce to you to a new teacher, to a new leader. That is the Holy Spirit, because physically I will not be there with you. I am going to go to the Father." Hallelujah. So just before he went on the cross, he started to teach his disciples about the Holy Spirit. And that is what he introduces in John chapter number 14 about the Holy Spirit. So last time I told you that Holy Spirit has, if the Holy Spirit wants to reside with a person permanently, there are requirements that needs to be fulfilled. Okay, John chapter number 14, verse number 15. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." So I told you the context is, Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit that if you love me by keeping my commandments, then I will pray the Father, that the Father will give you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So the requirement of the Holy Spirit to dwell and reside in the person, that the in a person, the requirement is that the person should have a understanding of loving God by obeying his commandments. Naturally, by the act of our wills, you see, I told you the natural comes first and then comes the spiritual. The meaning of that verse is naturally by the act of our will. By the act of our will, first we take a decision. There is not a supernatural force that will automatically make us obedient to God. First of all, by the act of our will, we have to take a decision to repent and to completely surrender to Jesus to obey his commandments. And when we continue in obedience, then the Holy Spirit comes and takes over our lives, and he becomes the helper. So tonight, I will not be able to cover the dimension of the Holy Spirit, the helper, but we are going to look at something else. Okay, so that is what I told you. And the Holy Spirit will only reside with a person who respects him. He is a personality, he is a person who honors him by loving the word of God and obeying the commandments of the Lord, and by respecting his presence, honoring his presence, by having a hunger and a thirst to be with him, to fellowship with him. And that example can be drawn from the life of David. He said, even though when he sinned, he was not hesitant to reveal his sin to whole Israel. He wrote Psalm 51 talking about his sin. You know what he did? He committed adultery and he murdered. And then after his sin, he understood in his innermost being that the Holy Spirit has been grieved and is no longer with him. And that's why he wrote Psalm chapter number 51, where he said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, O God, and do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me." So he understood that the Holy Spirit has departed, the Holy Spirit has been grieved by his sin. Hallelujah. Don't think that we will sin, or commit acts of sin, adultery, or anything of sin, and the Holy Spirit would reside. No, the Holy Spirit is a sensitive personality. If there is any impurity, any unholiness in that place, he cannot dwell. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit cannot be given to everyone. You know why, how people receive the Holy Spirit, everyone? No, we cannot take the doctrine of the Holy Spirit so casually, because we have to we have to only, I told you that when Philip the evangelist went to the city, he preached the gospel, he baptized the people with the water baptism and for the remissions of sins. He made them understood the doctrine of repentance, of remissions of sin, and baptized them. And then the apostles were brought in there, Peter and John. He brought the apostles, and then the apostle prayed, and not everyone received the Holy Spirit. The Bible says Simon the sorcerer did not receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why Simon the sorcerer gave money to Peter, offered money, and said, "Oh, I want this Holy Spirit. I'm not getting this Holy Spirit." The reason why he was not getting the Holy Spirit, not receiving the Holy Spirit, is because his heart was not sanctified. Hallelujah. He was not ready to receive the Spirit of God. So because nowadays the Holy Spirit has been treated like a sale product that everyone can receive it. It's free and all those things. No. The Holy Spirit is a very is a holy personality, is a very sensitive personality. We have to treat him with awe and respect and reverence. When he starts to move, if we put in our flesh in between and try to, he will not work in that place. If we need him to work in a place, we have to give him the complete authority in that place. We have to give all in his hands. If you want him to work through your life, if you want him to speak to you, if you want him to lead you, you have to give complete authority in his hands. You have to give him the absolute authority of your heart, of your mind, of your body. Only then he will be able to function through you. That is the principle of abiding, that abide in me and I in you, and my words abide in you. The Jesus is talking in John chapter number 15 about the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? So the Holy Spirit, because nowadays in a lot of crusades and meetings, he's been treated, "Oh, you are a drug addict, believe in Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit." That is not the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I showed you from the scripture when Paul laid hands and the Holy Spirit was released on the 12 disciples. When Cornelius received the Holy Spirit, what were the requirements that were met before that? I showed you everything from the scripture, because people take those incidents of Cornelius, of the disciples in Ephesus, the 12 boys in Ephesus, and they said, "Oh, we just got to go out, lay hands, and release the Holy Spirit." That is not the doctrine. That is a background. They were disciples, and even Cornelius was a devout man. Even though he was a non-Jewish person, he used to pray always. He was a God-fearing man, and he trained his household in the fear of God. And that's how he and his household, when Peter came and the requirement of the gospel was fulfilled, they believed in Jesus. They accepted their sins for the remissions of sin, and they received the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Holy Spirit cannot be just, "Oh, take the Holy Spirit, take the Holy Spirit." That cannot be done. Amen. Are we understanding? So we saw that the Holy Spirit has requirements to come and reside in a person. And we are going to see and go on those lines. So let us continue with John chapter number 14, verse number 16. Let us continue with that. Okay. So it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Hallelujah. So underline, "for he dwells with you and will be in you." Can you observe or see something in that line? "For he dwells with you." So Jesus is telling the disciples, he's already with you, but he will be in you. He's not yet in you. Okay? So listen to me very carefully. When Jesus is speaking to the disciples, at that moment, when Jesus is there with them, Jesus is telling the disciples, Right now, he is dwelling with you, but he is not in you. He will be in you. So there is something that needs to be fulfilled for the Holy Spirit, for him to come and start to reside inside of you. Okay? So the Holy Spirit, there are two functionaries or two ways that he resides or he helps people. The first type or the first way is he dwells with you or he is with you. And the second way is he comes to stay in you. Okay? Hallelujah. When he dwells with you, see, dwells with you and stays in you. These are two different things. And Jesus is saying to the disciples that currently he is with you, but he is not in you. He will be in you. For he to reside inside of you, there needs to be the fulfillment of a work that is the work of the cross and the shedding of the blood. Only then he will come in you. So right now he is with you, but he is not inside you. What is needed for every believer for the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you. Okay? Dwelling inside of you, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit staying inside of you, residing inside of you, that you make a hap that a habitation for his residing, for his residence is made inside of you. That is the primary requirement to be fulfilled by every believer. That Holy Spirit, when he resides inside of you, he becomes a seal of redemption. He becomes the guarantee of your redemption, of you entering into heaven. If he is not staying in you, you are not going to enter into heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the important part that we need to consider, because he dwelling with a person from outside is giving the person the power and the ability just to fulfill the purposes of God. That's it. Hallelujah. Stay with me, okay? Amen. People of God, are you there? Have we started off the meeting now? Amen. Remove your mute and say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, listen very carefully. So, the Holy Spirit, he will be with, he is already with you, Jesus said, but he is not yet in you. He will be in you. That is what I want you to notice in that scripture. So the disciples, that means the disciples are experiencing the external leading of the Holy Spirit, but the disciples have not yet experienced the inner witness or the residing of the Holy Spirit inside of them. Because for that, there are certain requirements that needs to be fulfilled by Jesus. We will come to that afterwards. But let us understand that what we need in our life and every believer needs in their life is that the Holy Spirit finds a habitation to stay inside of you. The Holy Spirit who dwells with you is for the ministry and the purposes of God. He dwells with you. He can give you power from by dwelling outside of you, by coming upon you, he can give you the power. Remember when Balaam was going to Balak the king to serve him, to do what he wanted to do by receiving money. The donkey was not moving ahead because the donkey saw the angel, the donkey on which he was riding. And afterwards, what happened? The donkey, when Balaam started to beat up that donkey, the donkey spoke. The donkey spoke. What was that? How could the donkey speak? It was the Holy Spirit for the purpose of God which made the donkey speak to Balaam. You see that? Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit can also make the purposes of God to be fulfilled by an unbelieving king. In the Old Testament, we see that kings were used. Though they were unbelievers, remember that verse, I think in the book of Isaiah, if I'm not wrong, that for this very purpose I have anointed Cyrus the king. Cyrus the king. So the anointing that comes over, it can come on a person who is a heathen king. So what Are you understanding? The Holy Spirit that comes upon, the Holy Spirit that is external force. Amen. That can come upon a person just for the fulfillment of the purposes of God. Remember, before Jesus went on the cross, there was a high priest in the temple of the Jews called Caiaphas. And then Caiaphas said, "You fools," Pharisees were discussing some things. You know, we don't have time to go there, but Pharisees were discussing something. And then Caiaphas said, "You fools, don't you understand that it's necessary for one man to die, rather for the whole nation to die? One man to die for a whole nation." And then the Bible says Caiaphas did not understand that he was prophesying what is going to happen. He was prophesying the will of God. Caiaphas. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit came upon him to utter a word of prophecy, and then he went. So the dwelling, are you understanding? The dwelling of the Holy Spirit with us is temporary, is not permanent. Hallelujah. He will come on a person. That person will do the will of God or utter the prophecy of God or perform the work of God, and then he will leave that person. That is what used to happen in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit, the requirement of the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of a human being permanently was not yet fulfilled. That's why the Holy Spirit would come, perform the works of God through a person, and then leave the person. But Jesus paved the way for the Holy Spirit to reside in us forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we together until now? Let's see an example. Let's go to Judges chapter number 15. Judges chapter number 15. And verse number 14 onwards, chapter 15, verse 14. When he came to Lehi, this is about Samson now. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men." And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called the place Ramath Lehi. Oh my God, this is the Holy Spirit that came with power upon Samson. And the Bible says that what? The ropes over Samson melted like wax. Hallelujah. It was burned. That was the power that came. And then with a fresh jawbone of a donkey, how many people did he kill? 1,000 people. This is the Holy Spirit coming upon a person. This is the external force of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit giving a person power to fulfill the purposes of God. This is power. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? He with one fresh jawbone, he killed how many people? 1,000 people. The ropes that were tying him were not able to keep him in bondage because the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him melted all the ropes and the bondages, and he came out with one jawbone. He killed around 1,000 Philistines. That was the Holy Spirit. Then what happened after that? Verse number 18. Verse number 18, then it says, then he became very thirsty, so he cried out to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst?" This is the inner thirst. Shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? Can you imagine a man with so much of power can kill 1,000 people and then he can die? He himself will die. Why? Because there is an inner thirst that was not fulfilled. Hallelujah. That is That is in the life of Samson. I brought you here because I want to show you that the Holy Spirit who is with you externally can give you power, you can perform mighty works. But if you don't have in him inside of you, you yourself will die after performing mighty works for God. Hallelujah. Amen. For every believer to realize that the most important, we need to have the anointing. We spoke about the anointing over us, but the most important and the primary requirement and necessity, not requirement, the necessity of a believer is for the Holy Spirit to be there inside of us. Otherwise, we are dead. We are dead. Hallelujah. Even though we do mighty works for God, but inside, if we don't have him, we are dead. We are dead. Okay. And then the verse number 19 says, so God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit, what it says, his spirit returned and he revived. How he was saved, how he did not die, his spirit returned and he was revived. Therefore, he called its name En Hakkori, which is in Lehi to this day. Okay, you see, Samson, you know the life of Samson. Now, you got to understand, you would ask me, Brother Rahul, what about the Old Testament saints? The Holy Spirit would dwell in the Old Testament saints temporarily to direct them as the tabernacle for the inhabitation of the Holy Spirit was not yet made. Now, listen to me. There is a difference. You see, Samson slept with women. He slept with prostitutes. He slept with Delilah. Hallelujah. Most of the time, you will find him in the bosom of Delilah, putting his head there. Then David sinned. Saul sinned. Elijah thought about suiciding and giving up his life. And all those things used to happen with these Old Testament saints. You see that in the Bible. Noah got drunk. Abraham lied about his sister. About his wife, that she is his sister. Then Isaac lied. But when you come to the New Testament, after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, you will not see the apostles committing such things. Are we understanding? From why? Because after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, by his death, habitation for the Holy Spirit was prepared in the human body, in the human being, for him to reside permanently, so that the standard of God was raised up in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? What did I say? The Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament saints of God, the Holy Spirit will come in them. Like Samson, he was going to die, and the Holy Spirit came inside of him, but he did not permanently reside inside of him because the habitation was not yet prepared for the Holy Spirit to stay there. Hallelujah. You know, for a spirit to stay in a place, for a spirit to reside, what this witchcraft people do? What this sorcerer people, the people who do sorcery, what they do is they have these shrines, they have these altars, and every day, every night especially, they have to go and maintain that place, that shrine, that altar. Every night they have to do the preparation, they have to maintain the place with the objects, with whatever hairs, with whatever bones, with whatever blood. They have to keep the place maintained because the place has certain requirements for the habitation of the certain spirit that dwells in that place. If the requirements of the habitation of that very spirit is not fulfilled, the spirit will not reside. For these witches and wizards and sorcerers, for them to keep the spirit there in the shrine, in the altar, they continue to maintain the altar and work at the altar so that the habitation will be in place for the spirit to stay in the place. Hallelujah. For the Holy Spirit to permanently come and reside in a person, the requirement was not yet fulfilled. The requirement could only be fulfilled by the Son of God, by Jesus Christ. So, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would reside for some time, but permanently, he did not have a habitation in the heart of a person, in the innermost being of a person to reside permanently. So, he would reside for some time and then he will leave because permanently he cannot stay there because the habitation was not yet prepared. Are we understanding? Now, let me take you to a scripture to explain that. Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 7. We will come to this Hebrews chapter number 9 afterwards again because there is a lot to cover in Hebrews chapter number 9. Okay. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number what? 7. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year. The second part is the most holy place. Okay. Now, listen to me. Okay, we will come to that. Into the second part, what? The high priest went once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself.
So when she texts me, she says yes, then I can text you tonight or question.
You know, people of God, when you are on the meeting, don't speak on calls. So please respect the presence of the Holy Spirit, okay? And respect the word of God. Okay, any which ways, Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 7. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Okay, now, hallelujah. Now, what used to happen in the Old Testament is the most holy place. The high priest could not go every time to the most holy place or could not stay in the holy place, most holy place always. What used to happen is they had entry to the most holy place only once a year. We will come to that because you know God resides in the third heaven, and the tabernacle of God in the third heaven is exactly the tabernacle that Moses made. Was the exact copy of what looks in the third heaven. Okay? What looks in what? In the third heaven. Now, that is where God resides. Now, when God made Adam, listen to me very carefully. When God made Adam, where does God resides? In the third heaven, in the tabernacle, as and specifically in the most holy place. Okay? Now, when God made Adam, the Bible says he made Adam in his own image. How? God prepared Adam, body, soul, and spirit. Signifies the body, the flesh was the outer courts, the soul was the holy place, and the spirit, the innermost being, the most holy place where God can reside inside of the tabernacle of man. So when Oh my God. When God created man with a purpose so that he can stay inside of the man. So the pattern of the structure of our being is the pattern of the tabernacle that is in heaven. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The pattern of the structure, God had a structure in mind. God had a pattern in mind, my dear friends. And how powerful is that? The way God said, the way I sit here in the third heavens and reside in the third heavens, on the in my throne room, in the most holy place, that is how I will make man. That is why how I will structure him. And I will build man as a place, as a tabernacle, so that I can reside inside of him. Hallelujah. That is the will of God to stay inside the most holy place. That is the inner being of a human being. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. So listen to me. But we know that Adam sinned and the spirit from the innermost being, because they had the spirit of God inside of them. The Holy Spirit was inside of them. But when they sinned, the spirit left Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. And after that, there had to be. Now, listen to me. Are we understanding? Are we understanding now? So, the most holy place, the innermost being, it was made unholy by the sin that they committed, and the presence of God left them. And from that time, man's heart became exceedingly wicked above all. That is what the Bible says. Hallelujah. That's why. And to now to restore the original pattern of the Holy Spirit staying inside of us could only be fulfilled by a sinless blood sacrifice. Okay. Now, what was the key to enter the most holy place? Blood. But that blood gave temporary entrance to the priests of God in the tabernacle of Moses. Stay with me. Listen to me very carefully, okay? That blood gave what temporary entrance? The blood of animals, just how many times a year? One time a year. So the Old Testament and those people in the Old Testament who are governed by the tabernacle of Moses, by that pattern, had the same thing inside of them. The Holy Spirit would come once a year. The Holy Spirit would come for some time inside of them and then leave them. Because that tabernacle, their body resembled the tabernacle of Moses. And in the tabernacle of Moses, the priest could not go inside and stay there in the most holy place. The priest could go only once a year. Why? Because the blood of animals could not open the veil of the most holy place permanently for them to go inside and live there. So the blood of animals through which the Old Testament saints received forgiveness, by that blood, the Holy Spirit did not find a habitation to reside in them permanently. He would come temporarily and then he will leave. He will come temporarily and then he will lead them. He will give them inner witness what to do and then he will leave. And that's why the standard of the Old Testament saints was not as per the apostles of the New Testament. They had suicidal thoughts, they fell into adultery, they fell into whatnot because they did not have the permanent inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you understanding, people of God? Amen. But in the New Testament, we cannot behave. You know, many people have excuse. Oh, you know, David fell into adultery. So what if I go and commit adultery? God will forgive me. You have been given much more providence than what David had. For David, Jesus did not die. He did not, at his time, the blood was not shed, and the forgiveness of sins was not given. Listen to me. But we have a high priest now, who with his own blood has entered the most holy place of God to open the veil permanently to the most holy place. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? I am teaching you about how the Holy Spirit started to reside in us. Are we understanding what the Bible is speaking about? The high priest in the tabernacle of Moses would go once in a year with the blood of animals because the requirement was not yet fulfilled for the Holy Spirit, for the most holy place to be opened permanently. Okay? Hallelujah. So, coming back to John chapter number 14, verse 17. John chapter number 14, verse number 17. Stay with me. What it says? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, do you understand? Dwells with you. Jesus is speaking with the context to the disciples of Matthew's chapter number 10, verse number 1, where he gave power to the disciples to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to preach the gospel. So they experienced, you know, let's go to Matthew's chapter number 10, verse number 1, quickly. Matthew's 10, verse number 1. Hallelujah. Matthew 10, verse number 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. So the 12 disciples were given an impartation of power, that is the Holy Spirit. So they were already experiencing the external leading of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit with them, dwelling with them. So that is what Jesus meant. He is already dwelling with you. You have experienced his external force, but it is time that he will be in you in some time. Now, do we understand the meaning of that scripture? That he will be in you when the requirement of the blood shedding will be fulfilled on the cross, then he will be in you. So, when will he come in you? When will he come in you? Now, listen to me. What did I say? The human body is the similitude of the tabernacle of God in heaven. Let me take you to few scriptures. Hebrews chapter number 8. Hebrews chapter number 8. And verse number 5. Hebrew chapter number 8, verse number 5. It says, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. Amen. What the Bible says? Who serve the copy, the priests, it is talking about the priests. What they do? They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things about the tabernacle that Moses constructed. What it was? The tabernacle in which the priest used to minister was the exact copy of the tabernacle that is there in the third heaven where God sits in the most holy place. Okay? Amen. So, now this is what, when God said, let us make man, let us make man. He had a pattern in his mind. And the pattern that was in his mind was the pattern of the house that in which he dwells in the third heaven. So he made man in three parts. He made man in the flesh, the soul, and the spirit. The spirit is the innermost being of a man, which God made as the resemblance of the most holy place of his own dwelling place in heaven. That was the will of God. You know, the will of God was, I don't only want to sit on the throne room, in the throne room of heaven, in the third heavens, but also what I want to do is, I want to reside inside of you. I want to stay inside of you. So I will make man in the structure and in the pattern of exact pattern of what the house of mine looks like in the third heaven. Okay, hallelujah. So when God was constructing Adam, making Adam, he made him in the same pattern of the tabernacle in which he dwells in heaven, so that he can dwell in Adam. He can dwell in us. That was the will of God. That is why he created man. Hallelujah. If you ask me, why did God create man? God created you because he wanted to dwell in you. That is the simple answer. He created you in such a way that he can stay inside of you. He can live inside of you. He can sit on the throne in your innermost being. That's how he constructed you. That's how he was, you are made by God. That is your purpose, that you carry the Holy Spirit, the Lord inside of you, the Spirit of the Lord inside of you. That is the purpose of man on earth, that a man should have the Lord, the Holy Spirit inside of him or inside of her. Hallelujah. Now, but Adam and Eve violated and grieved the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them by sinning and listening to this devil. And that's why this spirit that was there in their innermost being left them. Hallelujah. And as soon as the Spirit of God left Adam and Eve, God was grieved. And God said, I will not let this happen. I have to restore. I have to restore the pattern of a human being for me to come again and stay inside of them. That's why, you serpent, I curse you, that the seed of the woman will crush your head, and then my spirit will be able to come again to reside inside of my children. Hallelujah. Amen. People of God, are you understanding until now? Remove your mute and say amen. Amen. Do you,
Amen.
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 Do you understand?
Amen.
You were born on this earth. The reason why you were born, because the Lord of heaven and earth wants to stay inside of you. That is the reason why you were born on this earth. The Holy Spirit wants to stay inside of you. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, God was already made the plan, and he said, the seed of the woman will crush. That is the promise of Jesus. The promise of Jesus, who will come and restore back the original structure by getting into the innermost being, getting into the most holy place. Okay, we'll come to that at a later part. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 23. First Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The order that Apostle Paul uses there is not body, soul, and spirit, but spirit, soul, and body. The spirit comes first, because if the spirit man, the spirit, the inner being of a person, you know, we are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Not the Holy Spirit, the innermost being, the spirit man of a human being. The human spirit is the innermost part. That spirit part is also many times called as consciousness in the Bible. Consciousness. I will come to those words afterwards. It is also called as inner being. Remember, Jesus said, if you believe in me, anyone who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So the rivers of living water actually flows from the inner being, not from the soul, not from the body, but the innermost being. And many times also the Bible uses the expression of heart. When it says heart, it is talking about the innermost being of a human being, of a person. Are we understanding? Now, Apostle Paul is saying that may your spirit, soul, and body, look at the order, spirit, soul, and body, not body, soul, and spirit, be preserved for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you shall be blameless and you shall enter heaven. So it is the spirit, the innermost being of a person, that influences the soul and the body. If the innermost being of a person is sanctified and the spirit of God is dwelling inside of a person, it will keep the soul sanctified and it will keep the body sanctified. Are we together? Okay, let us look at the pattern of the tabernacle. The pattern of the tabernacle is the most holy place. Let us come in the order of spirit, soul, and body. Spirit is the most holy place. Okay, remember I told you the tabernacle is exactly the body, because God wanted to dwell inside of us. So the body, the flesh is, no, let us start with spirit. The spirit, the innermost being, is the most holy place. Then the soul, that is also the mind, the soul, it is the holy place. And the flesh, the body, is what? The outer courts. The outer courts. Now, in the outer courts of the tabernacle, anyone can come. Even foreigners can come there to offer sacrifices to God. That is the flesh. That signifies the flesh. The flesh is an open door. It can bring in anyone and everyone. That is the flesh. The holy place where the lampstand and the showbread is kept, it is the soul of a person. It is the mind of the person. It is the place that comes before the spirit of the person. And if in the soul the light of God is enlightened there, and if the mind, the soul is filled with the showbread, the word of God, then the entrance to the most holy place can be paved. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the spirit is the most holy place where the glory of the Lord dwells, where the Holy Spirit dwells. That is the inner witness of the spirit. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. Write in your diary if you are noting down, write spirit, soul, and body. Now make an arrow to the spirit and write, if the spirit is without God, arrow the soul will be corrupt and the flesh will carry sin. If the spirit is without God, is without the Holy Spirit, the soul will be automatically corrupt and the flesh will automatically carry sin and sickness and death. Hallelujah. The body, the flesh is the what you call area where sin dwells. The flesh is the area where sickness dwells. The flesh is the area where death dwells. When you will die physically, your flesh will die. Are we understanding? So, your flesh will have sin, your flesh will have sickness, your flesh will have death in it, and your soul, your mind, your thoughts will be corrupt. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of God is not inside the innermost being in your spirit. Okay? If the Holy Spirit is inside of your innermost being, the soul will be sanctified with the word of God, and the flesh will overcome sin and not be a partaker of sin if the Spirit of God is inside of your spirit. We cannot live a holy life by our determination to follow the commandments of God. We can only live a holy life when the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside our spirit. When the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of our spirit, the soul will be sanctified. The spirit will have the desires to fill the soul with the word of God, with the light of God's revelation, with the fellowship of God's people, with connecting our emotions with God's people. And those people who are obeying the word of God and loving the word of God, our soul will be attracted to those things. And then our flesh will not partake of sin. And more or less, always the flesh will be starving because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is dwelling inside of our spirit. So if we know to keep our innermost being a habitation for the Holy Spirit to reside inside of it, the soul will be not corrupted and the flesh will not have sin. That is what the Bible says, that by the Spirit put to death the sinful desires of the flesh. By the Spirit. So, if you ask me, Brother Rahul, can a Christian fall into depression? No, a Christian is not supposed to fall into depression. Brother Rahul, can a Christian commit adultery? Little bit adultery, two women. No, a Christian cannot do that because we have been given the providence of the Holy Spirit to stay inside of us. So God expects a higher standard of holiness and consecration and sanctification from us than from those people in the Old Testament. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Brother Rahul, can we think about suicide a little bit? Because Elijah also thought about suicide. No, you cannot think about suicide because the Holy Spirit is in you. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you because you are under grace. Grace is a dimension of the Holy Spirit. I will come to that. Grace and truth. That's how he manifests to mankind, operating in grace and truth, the Holy Spirit. Sin shall not have any dominion over you, for you are under grace and not under law, under the old tabernacle, where temporarily the Holy Spirit will stay in you. But now you have a habitation that has been prepared by Jesus for the Holy Spirit to stay inside of you permanently. So sin cannot take over your life. You shall have dominion over sin. Are you understanding? This is the standard of the New Testament. That's why you will never see the apostles committing adultery. You will never see Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, you see, his life was miserable. Literally, go through the epistles. He had shipwreck, he was beaten up, he was put stoned to death, near to death, he got up, so many things happened with them, his associates forsake him, his own people were, betraying him, so many things, every possible thing that can lead a person to depression or suicide happened with Apostle Paul. But yet Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of him. The apostles never were depressed, never fall into suicidal thoughts, or never committed adultery, never fell into the love of money, never fell into scams, because they had the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of their spirit being permanently, that kept their soul and that kept their body free from the bondage of sin, death, and sicknesses. Hallelujah. That is the standard of the New Testament, because he dwells in you. Because the Holy Spirit, what? Dwells in you. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So, let us go ahead. Let us go ahead. Now, let us go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. Let me read these verses. So, be careful when, be attentive, rather, when I'm reading these verses, because this chapter that I am reading, maybe I will read till verse number 14. Be very attentive. The things that I have said is mentioned here. Okay, Hebrews chapter number 9. Let's start off from verse number 1. Okay. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Imagine, this is the first part of the tabernacle. What is there? The showbread, the lampstand, the table on which the showbread is. Hallelujah. Remember, the Bible says in Exodus, when Moses prepared the tabernacle exactly as per the pattern, then the glory of the Lord descended in the tabernacle, in the most holy place. Okay? Tell me one thing, if the glory of the Lord is not in the most holy place, what's the use of the holy place? Nothing. What's the use of the outer courts? What's the use of tabernacle if the glory does not descend and does not stays in the most holy place? I want to tell you, if the Holy Spirit does not resides in your innermost being, what's the use of your life? No use for God. You are unusable for God if the Holy Spirit is not inside of your innermost being. What's the use of your soul? It's been sold to the devil. The flesh has been sold to commit sinful acts. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the Old Testament people could never fulfill the requirements of God, because they had the law and they tried to determine themselves in the mind, oh, we will follow the law. We will follow the Lord. A law, we will please God, but they were never able to please God by the law. A man can be made acceptable unto God only by his own spirit dwelling inside a man. Flesh can do nothing. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? We need the Holy Spirit so much. That is what I am telling you. We need him to stay inside of us. We need him. We need him. Without him, we cannot even please God. Without him, we cannot even walk in the ways of God. We need him inside of us. What's the use if the glory is not there in the most holy place? The Lord never comes in the most holy place. What's the use of the holy place? What's the use of the outer courts? No use. That's why the Bible talks about death. Death, as per God's definition, death is when a person does not have the Spirit of God inside of him. That person is dead to God, of no use of the things of heaven. Hallelujah. You can be only usable to God when you understand the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go, let's continue. Verse number 3. Hebrews 9, verse number 3. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. I have explained these things in my previous sermons, so I will not go into those things. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot speak in detail. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Once a year, he would go in the most holy place, temporary, residing in the most holy place. So the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. Hallelujah. Are we understanding now? So the faith in Jesus Christ, the law is done away with because the faith has been introduced in Jesus Christ, through whom the way to the holiest of all has been paved once and forever. Okay, listen to me. It was symbolic, verse number 9, for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. The conscience is what? The innermost being, the spirit. So it says that even the priest who ministered could not be sanctified in their own most holy place, in their own conscience. They could not be sanctified by their service. Verse number 10, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and freshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. Verse number 11, very important. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Hallelujah. Not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Underline that word. Verse number what? 11 and 12. Very, very important. Hallelujah. So, when Jesus Christ came on the earth, Jesus Christ came as the Son of God. But when he returned back, he did not go only as the Son of God, but he also went back with his own blood that he shed. And once and for all, the tabernacle which is in heaven, there is a veil that separates the most holy place from the holy place. That veil is called the veil of death. Are we understanding? Remember when Jesus appeared to John? What did he say? I am the one who has the keys of death and Hades. I am the one what? Who has the keys of death and Hades. That means first he destroyed death, took the keys, and then he destroyed Hades, took the keys. Now many people have this question. When Jesus died on the cross, where did he went? Did he went to the underworld or did he went to heaven? Or where did he go? What happened to him? Or did he go to the grave in the tomb? The answer to it is, as soon as Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says, I don't have time. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 50, 51, that he yielded up his spirit to God. When the flesh died, Jesus yielded up his spirit to God. And what happened immediately after Jesus died? Some things happened. There are three manifestations that happened. The first manifestation that happened was in the third heaven. The second manifestation that happened was in the temple of Jerusalem. And the third manifestation that happened was in the temple of the human body who believed in him. Stay with me. Hallelujah. Listen to me very carefully. So when he died on the cross, immediately he went with his blood. This is what Hebrews is saying. He went with his blood. Where? To the most holy place, breaking the veil once and forever. So the way was open to the most holy place because he went with his sinless blood for eternal redemption. Hallelujah. Amen. When the veil of the third heaven was broken, The manifestation could be seen in the temple of Jerusalem, and the veil in the temple of Jerusalem was broken in two parts. Then the manifestation could be seen in the disciples who believed in him. Their veil was broken and their heart was sanctified. Amen. So that the Holy Spirit can come now and reside inside of the innermost being. Three manifestations. Three manifestations. Amen. Are we understanding? So the blood of Jesus sanctified a place inside of us so that a spirit can come and stay inside of us. Amen. Are we understanding until now? So these three manifestations, let's go ahead. Verse number 11. Well, verse number 12. It says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? That is what he did when he died on the cross. He went back. He offered himself, his blood, without spot to God. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Because Jesus offered himself spotless, he went to the most holy place without spot, and he has given his blood to pave the way. So our conscience should be cleansed for the Holy Spirit now to reside inside of us. Hallelujah. Tell me one thing. What is the salvation prayer? When we lead a person to Christ, what is the prayer that we do? As per the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 1 to 3. We say, believe. The person has to first believe in what? Not in the resurrection first, but in the death first. I believe that Jesus died for me. When he believes in the redemption work by the blood of Jesus, that is, Jesus died for me. That confession, when he makes through his mouth and through his heart, the blood sanctifies his innermost being. And then he confesses, I believe that he raised from the dead. That is the entrance of the Holy Spirit inside of him to come and reside inside of him. That is the power of a salvation prayer. That a habitation first by the death of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that by the blood of Jesus, your heart, the most holy place is open for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, now to come and dwell inside of you. Amen. Are we understanding, people? So listen to me. It says the spirit of a man is his conscience, his inner being, his heart. And when Jesus died on that cross and he shed his blood, through the power of that blood, the veil over our heart, the veil of sin, the veil of death that was over our heart and covering our heart, it was broken. It was broken as it was broken in the third heaven. It was broken and torn apart in the temple of Jerusalem. And then it is broken for everyone who believes that Jesus died for them. Your heart has been sanctified for the Holy Spirit to come and reside in your heart forever. Forever. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 1 onwards. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and which you stand, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. What he received and what is the gospel he gave to the people? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Christ died for us is an expression of he breaking the veil over our innermost being by his blood. And then Christ raised from the dead by the Spirit of God for us, the resurrected life is the revelation of that Holy Spirit entering our innermost being and staying inside of us. And staying inside of us. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 9. Those of us who think that, those of us who think that we can please God by the works of our flesh or by our own works. What does the Bible says about that? Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Hallelujah. When our heart is without God, the innermost being, when the Holy Spirit is not inside of our innermost being, residing inside of us, what it is? It is the innermost being is wicked. The heart is wicked. The spirit is wicked when it does not has the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let us end here and let us pray. I have many more things about the Holy Spirit, but let me end here. Hallelujah. And let us pray. God designed you. The Lord has designed you. The Lord has made you so that He can dwell inside of you. And Jesus said, He is dwelling with you and He will be in you. The Bible says the anointing that is in you will teach you all things, and no one needs to teach you. The anointing, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that is in you will teach you all things. And because Jesus has paved the way and sanctified us, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. We were not a good place for the Spirit of God to stay inside of us, but Jesus did it for us. He shed His blood. And by His blood, He has sanctified us from inside out. He has sanctified our innermost being. So a habitable place is made for the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. Hallelujah. Tonight, are you ready to sanctify your hearts with the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross, by the blood of Jesus, so that the Holy Spirit can stay inside of you, can dwell inside of you. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Most High God, can dwell inside of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, even at the utterance of this word, Lord, I pray that people will understand the Holy Spirit. People will understand Him. People will understand the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, that they will understand the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, by the act of their will, Lord, invite the Holy Spirit to come and stay inside of them permanently. Stay inside of them permanently. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When the Holy Spirit is residing inside of you, the soul cannot be corrupted, my dear friends. The body cannot be corrupted, my dear friends. Hallelujah. You shall overcome sin. You shall overcome the works of the wicked one. You shall overcome the works of the enemy, the devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. John said in his epistle, greater is he who is in me than the one who is in the world. Are you ready to invite? If you did not know that the Holy Spirit has to stay permanently inside of you, and that is the reason Jesus died for you. Hallelujah. To restore the original pattern which God made for you, that He wants to stay inside of you. He wants to stay inside of you. He wants to be joined with your spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says, He who fellowships with the Lord has become one spirit with Him, not separate, not joining hands, but joined together to be one. One spirit with the Lord, joined together to be one spirit with the Lord. Oh God, I pray, let the Holy Spirit come in the lives of people. Hallelujah. Even at the utterance of thy word, oh God, let the Holy Spirit come in the lives of people. I want you to open your screens and pray with me. Invite the Holy Spirit and tell Him, Lord, today I came to know that you have made me so that you can dwell inside of me. Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, I invite you in my life. I invite you. First of all, Lord, I cleanse my conscience with the blood of Jesus Christ. I cleanse my spirit with the blood of Jesus Christ. Let the veil be broken and come, Holy Spirit, to reside inside of me. People of God, come on, open your screens and start to pray. Re zokota rabal sokora bancho. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am pronto kora fazito rofo. Safra taravleka tarali kafuria. Lemfranda ravala brava. He who believes in the Lord Jesus, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That will only happen when the Holy Spirit dwells inside of your spirit, man. Hallelujah. Rezikel tiara brabanto korobo. For Jesus came so that he can prepare a tabernacle for the Most High God to dwell inside of human beings. And he has done that with his blood. He has done that with his blood. That supernatural work of God that could never happen has been accomplished by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And the original tabernacle has been restored. And that tabernacle is me. That tabernacle is you. Hallelujah. And tonight we are the carriers of the Spirit of God, for the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. The Bible says, Apostle Paul said that we are earthen vessels, but the Spirit that dwells inside of us, the glory is that Spirit. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, no one, the devil cannot defeat you. The devil cannot deceive you because of the Holy Spirit who is inside of you. When the Holy Spirit is inside of you, the flesh cannot be a partaker of sin. The flesh cannot even be a partaker of sickness and of death, because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. When the Holy Spirit is inside of you, you will understand that great is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and dwell inside of your people tonight. Come, Holy Spirit, and dwell inside of your people tonight. Sometimes in times of trouble, in times of calamity, in times of trials, you know the word of God. You have been to meetings, you have received revelation, but when trouble hits you, when calamity hits you, when the devil presses on against you hard, when the flood of the enemy hits against you hard, you just don't understand what to do, though you know the scriptures, though you know everything. I want to tell you, the helper has been given to you, who abides with you always inside of you. Ask help from the helper and tell Holy Spirit, I ask help from you. I have been pressed down. I have been suppressed by the enemy. I don't know what to do. I feel like I am going into depression. I feel like giving up. But I know that you are dwelling inside of me. Let not that happen. And the Holy Spirit will start to help you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will start to help you. The Bible says he will lead you. He will lead you in all the truth. That means he is a teacher that will not speak to you and teach you. He will take you into the reality of what is needed for you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember once I had went for a 7-day fast, and I was seeking the Lord in fasting, the first day, the second day, the third day, my soul became so dry. I was reading scripture. I was trying hard. The soul became so dry. I was telling God, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Attacks started to hit my mind. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. I don't know what will happen with my life and all those things. Lord, I'm trying to seek you. And such darkness started to hover around me. And I started to ask help from the Holy Spirit. As soon as I asked the help from the Spirit of God inside of me, a river started to flow, a river of the realities of the promises of God. And suddenly my soul, that is my mind and my body, started to step into the promises of God, no longer like the dryness, but now like a reality, as if it will come to pass, like a conviction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the helper given to us who will abide inside of us always. When Jesus said the helper will come and abide with you always, it is talking about the helper who will dwell inside of you. Hallelujah. If you understand the Holy Spirit, who stays inside of you and give him the place of habitation in your spirit being, he will be with you always. And even though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hallelujah, because he's abiding in you. He's abiding in you. Tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit abides in you, dear people of God. Hallelujah. Invite him in your innermost being. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will speak to your people. If you are in confusion, if you don't know what to do, you know you are living a defeated life. The Holy Spirit has been given to you, I want to tell you. Just close your eyes and start to hear his voice. He is inside of you. Start to understand the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Just close your eyes and start to be still and know that he is speaking to you from the inside of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Rose kataraba. Hallelujah. Just I will be silent for a few minutes. I just want you to experience the Spirit of God who stays inside of you. Hallelujah. Even as you have invited him inside of you have accepted Jesus, you believe in the Lord Jesus, your heart is ready to receive him. Receive him and just be still. I will not speak anything. Just experience his leading, his voice, his presence. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we want to give you thanks. I pray that we would understand that revival will not come from heaven. The revival is inside of us, Lord. When we understand you inside of us, oh Lord, I pray for a mighty leading of the Holy Spirit in the lives of this people in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, today, Lord, we pray, Lord, that our spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless and without spot for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that will only happen through you, Holy Spirit, and by you, Holy Spirit, when you dwell inside of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray the clouds in the soul and in the flesh, in the body will be cleared off, Lord. Hallelujah. Every hindrances will be broken for your people to hear your voice in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this coming week, even as we continue to talk about you, Holy Spirit, to talk about you, Lord, I pray that you will release a mighty leading in the lives of your people in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will minister to your people. You will speak to your people because you are the teacher. You are the leader, actually, the real leader, the real teacher whom you have given for every believer in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lay front of vose. Let rivers of living water start to flow from the innermost being of people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Release, oh Rafranzo Krovose, deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And let me now pray and minister on some points that the Lord has been showing me when we were hearing from him. Lord, I come against every antichrist spirit. I come against every devil in this atmosphere, Lord. Every antichrist spirit, Lord, that are working against ministries, that are working against the priesthood ministries, that are working against the remnant body of Christ. I see forces of darkness coming to put down ministries, coming to put down cross. In Jesus' mighty name, we stand against the wiles of the enemy, and we resist those forces of darkness, and we push them back. We rebuke those demons right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lo franto rovosi. I want to pray for ministries, those who are serving God. The devil is against the work of God. The devil is against the ministry that you are doing. Every forces of darkness that wants to sway you away and your work for the Lord away, I bind those forces of darkness right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Refron safora katarali kovara eya frol taraval do rovo ziam framando rovo revo do rabazike tia frando korafanda lame free bent yandra lavara vola holzia. Every occultic hold over the work of their hands, over the ministries, I break in the name of Jesus. Every monitoring spirits, Lord, pursuers who are pursuing them to stop them, I bind those spirits in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Let them realize today, Lord. Let your people realize today, Lord, that greater is he who is in them than the one who is in the world, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. The next meetings in the weekend, Lord, be given to your hands. Lord, we pray that you will do a mighty work among your people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We cover all of us with the blood of Jesus, and in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.